Hi everyone, thanks for listening to another great episode, and I totally forgot about this weekend. According to the recording that I'm just doing right now, it is Ant-Man weekend, which I almost forgot, which, you know, it's sometimes forgetful, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to, you know, to remember where and when will it be. So, I had to double check to make sure that I didn't double reference onto this one, because sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, and it would be great to not double dip, so to speak, on, hey, you've already talked about this subject, why are you repeating? It is just in case if I accidentally do, and luckily this is definitely something to repeat, as well as making sure that we're good on. So let's go ahead and recap the first two, and I do mean two Ant-Man movies before heading Quantumania, which maybe that'll be after Vox Machina, but who knows. So the first movie, dubbed Ant-Man, is having to be set back in 1989, where Hank Pym, the scientist who works for S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time, played by Michael Douglas, he accidentally found out that someone was replicating or took a sample of his Pym particles, which is the dangerous substance that could either make you small or grow. By doing so, there was someone trying to replicate this technology, which it is dangerous, and he vows to hide it from everyone as long as he lives. Coming to the era of the day, which is back in 2015, we are seeing a duo, if you will. Hope Van Dyne, which is a member of Pym's family, as well as Darren Cross, pretty much took over for Pym Technologicals, which is basically Hank's own private industry. After, you know, being like decades away and away from everyone else, Pym is realizing that Darren is super close to replicating the same technology that he vowed to have, you know, to hide from the world, which is very bad if it does lands in the wrong hands. So, well, unbeknownst to Pym, somewhere around the other side of the city, a well-known thief, Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd, is literally being released, and he meets up with his buddy, Louise, who plays by Micah Peña, and that is a wonderful way of knowing. But even so, Lang visits his daughter on her birthday unannounced, which chastises, which is pretty much, you know, have a talk down with his ex-wife Maggie and her fiance Detective Paxton for not providing child support. Lang can't, you know, literally look after his kid, and even so, with the criminal record that Lang acquired, no job can hold him down. We will see a scene of him like working in Boston. Baskin Robbins, and gets released because of that record. Lang only agrees to join Louise's crew, which has Tip T.I. Harris, as well as David Dismal. Dismalchin. We know him being like Abracadabra from the Flash series, Polka Dot Man from the Suicide Squad. Also, I know him from another film that is literally a different storyline. He plays a teacher, which ironically called Teacher, and it was helped made by Glass City Films, which I know the guy who owns that company. Only because of Lang agreeing to, you know, join Louise's crew to commit a burglary, he does so with finesse. Not only he broke in and cracked the safe, which is a big, like, metal, heavy-duty one, but he realized that whatever's inside is not really treasure, per se. It's more like a bodysuit. It looks like a biker suit to begin with. So he did take it home, and he tries on the suit for the first time. Without knowing what kind of buttons it does, he just pressed one, and he shrinks all the way into the size of an ant, which is literally the title of the movie. Sadly, terrified because of the experience, he tries to return the suit, but gets arrested on the way out because it happens to be the first time he, you know, broke, you know, parole, which if you're a criminal, you shouldn't be associating with such animal elements for you to go back to. So, as sitting in the jail cell, his lawyer pays him a visit. Lo and behold, it is Hank Pym, the house owner that he broke into. But he decides to help him out by getting out of jail by shrinking him. Pym, who manipulated Lang through knowing through Louise, which is very expletive storytelling by Louise, of all things, to see how Scott Lang can handle being Ant-Man, in a way. Actually, he was actually testing Lang's skill of stealing in order for him to steal something from, well, the company. So, with the idea of Lang trying to steal, again, from a industrial size, he literally had to get in, like, training mode, if you will, because in order for him to kind of steal something from an industry, he must steal something back from another facility, which this helps Scott understand Pym's position, as well as his daughter Hope Van Dyne, which is played by Evelyn Jean Lilly, and she's now, like, on the cross of training this guy who's replacing her as the member of something. But even so, it's because of Hope. She really resents on how she was chosen over because of Lang, but only revealed that because of her mother's death, Janet Van Dyne, that he didn't want Hope whatsoever inside this, you know, family business, if you will. But even so, he has to learn to let go of the mere fact that there was a chance that him, there will be no reconciling if, you know, she goes past away. Which, if we've seen that What If episode, yeah, he gone pretty deep. So, as soon as Lang was done being trained, he was instructed to steal a device from a Stark facility. Lo and behold, that facility got remade under the guise of the new Avengers headquarters, which, you know, we've seen the Age of Ultron that leads into, like, Civil War. We realize that Scott Lang has literally went toe-to-toe with Sam Wilson, which is Falcon at the point. So, of course, they battled, but it was only Scott's ingenuity that he could, you know, facilitate on capturing not only the device from the headquarters, but also to ruffle some feathers. Elsewhere, Darren decides to use the Yellow Jacket presentation and does a unceremonial reveal over at the labs. Scott, along with the crew, which is, you know, Louise and all that, to invade this building during the event, which sabotaged the servers to encase of any copying or whatever, and plant explosives in order for it to, you know, blow up. As Scott tries to relieve Cross of the suit via, you know, tunnels and all that, Darren literally knew that he was going to get, like, crossed, literally. So he decides to capture not only Scott's, you know, little being, which is while he's still stuck in the Ant-Man suit, but also Yellowjacket, two remaining members of Hydra. And that's kind of funny because that's that's how it seems to be. So, with Cross trying to impart, like, hey, you get the prototype, but the serum and all that still is mine. You still need to pay for that part. It's like batteries for certain devices. After trying to negotiate left and right, Scott breaks free and able to free up both Hank and Hope in order for them to, pretty much like get all this done. But during a chance of fleeing for getting the particles from Cross, Hank got shot while, everything's happening, but Lang pursued as well as trying to escape the building. Because of the detonation, it wasn't really an explosion, it's more like an implosion. So the device is literally like, go opposite direction of how it is. During the fight with Lang and Cross, Cross was able to don the yellow jacket suit and then attacks Lang while free-falling in the event. However, he gets dispatched because of a bug zapper. Without Scott trying to react of escaping, he gets caught by Detective Paxson, which is his ex-wife's fiance. Cross then was able to be somewhat resurrected to go after the family to Laura Lane for another fight. Of course, during this whole fight, he knows that there was no way of him getting Cross's suit or anything else unless he overrides the regulator, which it's a huge case of a no-no for Hank, because it's because of the regulator that his wife is not with them. But he had to cross it over in order for him to shrink down to a subatomic level to penetrate through the suit to override the system, so to speak, which means that Cross's system literally got haywired and able to shrink him down to literally subatomic small size because of these particles that he helped develop. They're still unstable, they're untreatable, they're unthinkable to even think about it. So, of course, with a regular regulated suit without the limiter, Scott's like free falling through what we now know as the quantum realm. But by able to reverse that, he was able to put an enlarger or a disc to override the limiter on this one, and able to escape from the microscopic verse, which is the quantum realm, to, the actual realm that he came from. After having his daughter, like, literally sees his dad being small as an ant, Paxson tried his best to save Lang's reputation by covering up the first arrest that he did, the unmentionable thing that happened in the in the building, basically it got literally swept under the rug because Cassie still loves her dad, and I for one believe that that's an okay guy right there in my book, trying to make sure that family's family, A few moments later, like almost the next day or so, Pym is seeing Lang surviving the trip of visiting the quantum realm, and he's wondering how did he do it, how he does it, and Scott can't explain, he can't even observe anything else. But the weird thing is that Pym has that feeling that his wife is still around, still alive, in some manner or form, so he's still going to be investigating that stuff later on. And of course we have our scene where Scott making out with Hope, which is kind of like a no-no in front of Dad, so yeah, still. But even so, it turns out towards the end of the movie that Sam was actually looking for Scott for a reason unknown. It was explained in the middle of the post-credit scene after the very, very end that Steve and Sam Falcon, has Bucky chained up in custody, unable to talk to Tony, which is the Accords, which is explained in Civil War. He knows a guy that can help, which is, knock on wood, that's a nod for an Ant-Man. However, the mid-credits scene for that one, we have Hank reconciling with Hope, and then all of a sudden she sees her future suit, the Wasp's prototype, which is literally offered to her as a way of kind of redeeming himself, but at the same time pays his wife's respects on having her daughter don on a similar suit that is both, you know, creative as well as part of the family. Now, the second movie. Now, this came out after Civil War, which, you know, there was a lot of, you know, here and there and all that, because the first one deals with the fallout of all Hydra agents are coming in and coming out, right? This one, on the other hand, is the aftermath of having to be in Civil War, and how how Scott is like being hunky-dory, family-friendly kind of deal, you know? So, of course, to be said, Ant-Man joined Captain America on a somewhat mission of sorts, and that would allow him to be captured, knowing that it's the wrong choice to what they made. However, we did see a huge glimpse of the future for us on Ant-Man becoming Giant Man, in a way. So it is kind of awesome to see that, as well as, hey, Scott's gonna go big this time. However, the second movie, this is like the 2-year marker here. 2 years after Scott Lang has been placed under house arrest for the involvement of Civil War, because of the Accords, both Hank and Hope are literally literally on the verge of doing something that is like unthinkable, but also at the same time not knowing what's going to happen. The weird part is that Scott is detained, with Louise being a thief expert in this, so it's kind of funny. Also, at the same time, because of Scott's agreement of him not doing anything, he gets visited by Agent Wu, which played by Randall Park, which we know him from Fresh Off the Boat, from that ABC sitcom, Always Be My Maybe, with Ali Wong. This man has been a tremendous help, alright? Scott's like doing this whole weird thing going on, so it's like, it's something to not only worry about, but at the same time something to consider that, hey, this is what exactly happened. So, ironically, and this is weird, Hank and Hope were able to track down something that was in the quantum realm, but for some odd reason they get a message from Scott, which apparently has been sent to them, and they have no idea why until they get Scott involved. They were opening a small fissure, or at least a portion tunnel, to the quantum realm, which Hank's believing that his wife is stuck there ever since the subatomic level of 1987. Of course, they reprise their role, of course. But at the same time, Hank Pym's wife, which is Janet Van Dyne, is played by the wonderful Michelle Pfeiffer. For those who are wondering why does that name sounds familiar, because of Batman Returns, she was Catwoman. She was in Hairspray, she plays the mom to Brittany Snow, and other wonderful films that she made, I believe also, Grease 2. I'm just throwing a guess out there, right? But yeah, Dangerous Minds back in the 1990s. He was the teacher. Nerd. Just saying. So, knowing that Scott has a few days, Hank and Hope captured Lane in the attempts of wondering, like, something to go off of, something's going on. Of course, they use a decoy ant for Jimmy Woo to just confirm that Scott's still there, but he's a form of an ant. However, it's weird that they built a stable tunnel to Quantum Realm to find out that, hey, their mom is still available, still there, you know? However, it is super weird that they're literally being also summoned by another thing in order for them to have a stable Quantum Realm, a literal stable home for whatever is going to be large enough to go through. So they had no choice but to contact a black market dealer, Sonny Birch, who played by Walton Googlies, for those who are wondering where he's from, The Shield, Justified. He was also on Predators. He was one of the escape convicts. Just saying. He's an awesome guy, by the way. But Birch, realizing that this is Pym's research, and double-crossed them, which gives Hope now the debut that we always waited for, which is literally the WAPS outfit in action. However, after dealing with Birch and her men, they're basically get attacked by this quantum unstable masked woman, which she fights the Ghost, which is played by Hannah John Cumin. She's best known for being Dutch in Killjoys, a few episodes of Game of Thrones, finale being of Ready Player One, to say a few. But even so, she escapes with Pym's lab, which is shrunk down to the size of a suitcase. Now, Pym, more luckily, took Hope and Lang to visit a former partner of Hank's named Bill Foster, who's played by Lawrence Fishburne, who, some of us should know, he was Morpheus from the original Matrix, Do the Right Thing, Blackish. He was the grandfather in that series. And they were trying to help out and find how to find the location of the lab. When they find it, the Ghosts kind of like capture them, but reveal herself as Ava Starr, which is her father was one of Pym's former partners who accidentally passed away with her wife during an experiment with her daughter. Their daughter, which is Ava Starr, got caught and became in this unstable environment that she's phasing through. Foster reveals that she is dying in constant pain because of the condition, which the only way to cure her is the quantum energy that Janet is, you know, it's literally like, it's the quantum realm that's supposed to be curing Ava Starr, not Janet. But believing that this will hurt the chances to get Janet Van Dyne, Pym refused to help them and escape with Hope and Lang in the lab. By opening a stable version in the tunnel inside the lab, they were able to make contact with Janet, who gave them precise location, but warns they only have a 2-hour window for them to, you know, literally get all this to be, you know, right there. But it will take them like several centuries for her side to get another pinpoint reaction. So then, right there and then, she has no choice but to work with that. After a truth serum used on Lang's business partner Louise, David, and Kurt, realizing that they are informing the FBI, which ironically this kind of like put a damper on a few things because Ghost happens to be in there to caught where to find these people. Louise kind of warns Lang that FBI is like looking for him, but trying to make sure that he gets home as soon as possible, because there's a chance of them removing the ankle monitor. So, of course, Pym and Hope gets arrested by the FBI, allowing Ava to take the lab. Scott soon help Hank and Hope to escape custody, like the first movie as before, but also find the lab. Then Scott and Hope fights Ava, while Pym enters the quantum realm to retrieve Janet, whom she finds alive and well. So that was not much of a problem, and if we've seen that What If episode, no zombies. meanwhile, confronted with Birch and his men falling in a lengthy chase of San Francisco, which Scott's having some moments of going up and down with his powers, but Abel was able to gain control of the lab, which they kind of set it up to allow her to begin taking Janet's energy by force. Of course, with our thief vigilantes incapacitated Sonny and his men by also doing the same thing that they did, which makes Scott and Hope stop Ava. Hank and Janet returned safely from the Chrono Realm, but Janet voluntarily gave some of her energy for Ava to temporarily be stable enough for her to not feel much pain, but now to be, you know, able to be tangible, if you will. And tangible is another form of not phasing through or not going through anything. Like, basically, no longer be a ghost, in a matter of speaking. However, due to the fact that Scott finds himself on TV because of his large size, Agent Wu is now on the verge to find not only Ant-Man's suit, but also the chance of Scott being at home. Which, ironically, Scott did return in time for an Agent Wu to realize that if it's not you that was in the suit, you better be telling us if there's someone else, which he has no idea. But even so, this also protects other people around the area where it is, like Janet and Hank and Hope finding some temporary area for them to kind of be housed. Scott's monitoring has ended because he's been a good boy, and both Bill Foster and Ava Starr were able to escape out of custody and all of that because of how her abilities are, which is in some ways Bill helps Ava with her condition. Now, keep in mind that this is before Infinity War, and this is also another way of telling us, like, hey, this is something totally different. So our mid-credit scene for this one is that Hank and Hope with Janet and Scott able to construct another quantum realm tunnel for them to get more stable energy for Ava to remain human in a way. However, when Scott actually literally stepped into the quantum realm and retrieved the much needed material for Ava, sadly, this is during the snap routine, which means Scott, Hope, and Janet literally had became dusted, which leaving our terrestrial hero Scott Lang in the quantum realm. It wasn't until Endgame that Scott is literally retrieved back from there by a rat, who in some ways able to pull him out from the quantum realm, and realizing that the five-year snap happened, which now we are visited with an older daughter, parents are not near around, literally everything was just crazy for her to, you know, explain to her not so older dad. But it's just only like 5 years. So for this development of both, and I kid you not, for Quantumania, the premise is that we're looking at a new adventure with not only Scott and Hope, but also with Hank and Janet with Lang's daughters Cassie, while they go against none other than Kane the Conqueror, who's played by Jonathan Majors. And this man has some chops, I can tell you that. So, of course, we have a lot of revisal roles, except for one. Cassie Lane's been recast as Catherine Newton, and she's best known to be in movies like, to be in, you know, other movies that we know of, one of which is a horror film named Freaky, that stars with her and Vince Vaughn, switching spots. It's kind of weird to explain, but, you know, she's outgoing, unaliving people, as well as many things. Also, what we know her from is the Paranormal Activity movie number 4. She plays the team right behind the screen, so it's definitely something else. Also, and I can't believe I totally forgot about this, Pokemon Detective Pikachu. She's one of the trainers with the Psyduck. Jonathan Majors, his roles are, like I said, they're phenomenal. He's literally in Lovecraft County, is that the HBO series, with Jesse L. Brown, who was also in, ironically, Top Gun Maverick. He portrayed Jesse L. Brown, a fire pilot from Devotion, which I'm truly sorry. But also at the same time, I mean, he was recast from Loki, and I kid you not, Loki, as He Who Remains, to being, you know, Kane the Conqueror. So this literally just like became like, you know, an awesome guy to know, and how his career is, it's going up and up, just like many others. So, if you're going to watch any of these Ant-Man movies, Quantumania, definitely in theaters on the weekend, that's definite. And for Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp, that is respectfully, and I'll kid you not, in Hulu, also in like Disney Plus, and also like if you own it on Blu-ray streaming, I would so get this right now before watching Quantumania, because this is an insane ride to even go after. So thank you for so much to listen to this episode, as well as how you guys are gonna like do your weekend, how it is. Me, I have a ton of things to work on. So, yeah, you guys have a wonderful time. Be safe, be good. And until next time, see ya. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Man, what a whirlwind of things happening. One, you can visit my Anchor page at anchor.fm/edcast20, where you can listen to my podcast in seven different podcasts. Spotify being one, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, where you can listen to not only the latest episodes, but some previous episodes as well. I also have, and believe it or not, a blog page now, edwardsreview2.wordpress.com. That is Edwards Review, all in one word, with the number 2.wordpress, W-O-R-D-P-R-E-S-S.com, where you can read my blog postings as well as the latest episodes that I've been posting on there. Both these sites are amazing, and I do thank for not only the sponsors that helped me out put this together, but also thank you guys for reading and watching this stuff, or kind of listening to this stuff. I haven't done any video yet. So yeah, for anchor.fm/edcast20 is my anchor page, as well as edwardsreview2.wordpress.com for the blog posting. Thanks for visiting. See ya.